So today's daf is Chaf Hey, but we still have a piece to finish up on Chaf Dalid Amud Beis, Amal Charav. It's about 20 lines up from the bottom. And you'll see a Tosus Omar Rebbe, and if you drop down about 5-6 lines in that Tosus straight across, you'll see the word Mafkinon, and we're up to Omar Lecha Rav. Now, let's just understand that Rav had said that in a case where there was a call about a woman having an extramarital relationship with a man, Rav said that kol, some sort of a ruma, is not sufficient to force a divorce if this person about whom she had this, supposedly had this relationship, would marry her, unless two witnesses came by and testified that they actually saw the immorality, then and only then do we bust up the marriage if she marries the Boel. And Rav Sheshes had pointed out that Rav may have been half asleep when he gave that ruling, because it's contradicted by a Braisa. And I think we'll actually go through this Braisa again in order to appreciate Omel Charav. Omel Charav, where we want to start where we left off yesterday, is really an answer to reinterpret the Braisa and defend Rav against the onslaught of Rav Sheshes. So Rav Sheshes quotes a Braisa, and the Braisa says the Sanya, which is about 5 lines earlier, 1 line above Tosus Omar Rebbe. Hanitan al Eshes Ish Votzi Uha al Yodo Finisgarsha Mitachas Yideacher Im Konas Lo Yotzi. So the Bryce is talking about a case where, again, we have a suspicion of an immoral relationship, and the husband divorces his wife, who is suspected of that relationship, and after the divorce, she gets remarried to someone else, and then she gets divorced from the second husband. And the suspected Boel now was not allowed to marry her, but if he went ahead, he married her, the Braisa says, Lo Yotzi. And Rav Sheshes analyzes the case. Hechidom, he says, Ida Ika Edim, if two witnesses testify about the znus, then how could you say lo yotzi? Ki osa acher v'afsake l'kola mayhavi, even though she got married to someone else, and now the rumor quieted down, but nevertheless, we have two witnesses that this is the Boel. He's not allowed to live with her. He can't resume the marriage. We have to break that up. And that's based on the parsha of v'nitma v'nitma shtei pa'amim. There were no witnesses. And now, in the absence of witnesses, the question is, do we bust up the marriage between the so-called Boel and her? And the answer is, the Braisa seems to indicate that it all depends upon whether in the meantime, in the middle of this, she married someone else. And that's going to be a hefsek on the kol. That's going to quiet down the rumor. So time of the reason why we're not going to break up this marriage is the Asa Acher V'Avsekei L'Kola, because she got married in between. And that quiets down the kol. Halav Hachi, if not for those very unique circumstances, had the Boel immediately, without her marrying someone else, but after the divorce that was given to her by her husband, if he would now marry her, then Mafkina, we're going to break up their marriage. So we see that even in the absence of Edim, because again, if there were Edim, then it certainly has nothing to do with Hefsek Kol. But the reason why Lo Yotzi, we don't bust up the marriage, is because of this Hefsek Kol. But in the absence of the Hefsek Kol, even though there are no Edim, apparently we would be breaking up the marriage, and that's against Rav Amalcha Rav. Rav says there's no proof from the Braisa. And the truth is, says the Braisa, that there's a kol, and according to Rav Shita, based on a kol, we would not break up the marriage, and therefore, who adin the afagav to loasa achir afseke l'kol, even without a hefsek kol, meaning even if she hadn't gotten remarried and divorced following the divorce that was given to her by her husband, nevertheless, we would still allow the marriage to continue if there are no edim, and that's Rav Shita. Now you have to ask yourself: so why did this brisa make it contingent on the fact that she got married to someone else in Afsika Kola? So the Gemara says, "Hachi Kamar, Diafal Gavdi Osachir Afsika Kola." It doesn't mean that Afsika Kola in this brisa is a kula, but rather it's a chumra. The brisa wants to tell you that even though there was afseke kol, meaning she got married in between, lechatchila lo yichnos, we're not going to allow her to get married. What I mean is we're not going to allow her to get married to the so-called boel, to the suspected boel. So the din is that if she married this guy, the suspected boel, we're not going to break up the marriage. And that's true even if she hadn't gotten married in between to another person and quieted down the kol. But l'chatchila, we're not going to allow such a marriage. So again, just to summarize, and this is where we left off yesterday, according to Rav Shita, we will not break up the marriage of the boel to this woman in the absence of Eidim. Only if there are Eidim, and then there's no choice, because then there's an Iser Vecha Levalech Leboel, but in the absence of Eidim, based on a call, we will not break up the marriage. Meisvei, now the Gemara asks another kash on Rav, Bamed Varma Murim. When do we say that even if he marries her, meaning the Nitan is the so-called suspected Boel, marries her, that we're going to force a divorce, kisha ein la bonim, av yesh la bonim lo seitze. What was her situation with the original husband? Did she have children or not? And the Braisa says that whether or not we'll break up the marriage between the Nitan and her depends upon whether she had children from the first marriage. If she had children from the first marriage, lo teitze, we will not break up the marriage with the so-called Nitan, because it might create a situation of Laz al Bonel. If we break up that marriage, it really strengthens the impression in the public that she had this immoral action with him, and then maybe the children from her first marriage are not really her children, and that's going to create a Laz of Mamzeris. In Boe de Tuma, now there are two Eidim that testify that she had Znus, Afilu Yeshla Kama Bonim Teitze. I don't care how many children she had from her original husband, we have now absolute reliable testimony on the fact that she had Znus, and Echel Lebal, Echel Lebal, we have to break up the marriage. This is against Rav. Because Rav says that only if there are Eidim, Eidim Tuma, will we break up the marriage. But here, it sees clearly that in a case of Eila Banim, we're going to break up the marriage, even though there are no Eidim. So Rav answers, Rav Mukile Masnisin, B'yeshla Banim. The case of our Mishnah is a case where she has children from her original husband, and therefore, we can't break up the marriage because of the Laz issue, but if there are witnesses that she had a Mises Nus, then and only then will we break up the marriage. So the Gemara asks the following kasha: Umay duchke de Rav? What forced Rav into this dochak? La'ukme masnisim v'yesh la'bonim, that there are children to the first marriage, and then we'll only break up the marriage to the Nitan in event that she had children. And then U Yeshla Edim. I'm sorry. So if she had children from the first marriage and there's only kol, then we won't break up the marriage from the nitan. But if on the other hand there are witnesses, then we'll break up the marriage. V'taymadika edim afkinan, ileka edim lo mafkinan. We're not going to break up the marriage if there were no edim. In the absence of edim, all we have is kol. That's not enough. That's not sufficient ground to break up the marriage. Lukma, why couldn't Rav interpret that Mishnah be she'ein lo banim? She has no children from the first marriage. Af agav deleka edim. And then, Mimele, we understand very well that there's only a kol, and there are no edim. And then, the Mishnah is telling me that since there are no edim, we'll break up the marriage. I'm sorry, since there are no children from the first marriage, despite the fact that there are no edim on this nus, we'll break up the marriage. Why couldn't Rav accept that? What forced Rav to the conclusion that kol alone is not enough to break up the marriage? And therefore, he's going to say that in the Mishnah, she had edim. Why not just say that in the Mishnah, we're talking about a case where she has no children, and we're going to break up the marriage based on the kol, even the absence of edim? Why is Rav allergic to that kind of interpretation? Amar Rav Masnisik Shise, because Rav had a question on the Mishnah. My iria detani hotzi uha. Why is it that the Mishnah says hotzi uha, which means they forced the Baal, meaning the nitan, against his will to give a divorce? Listening hotzia. Why didn't the Mishnah say hotzia? Which means that even in a case where hotzio saw midaito on his own initiative, the Mishnah would still insist that lo yichnos oso lechatchila, that he should not, meaning the nitan, should not marry her. Hello, we're going to have to say Hotziua means Bezdin forced him. Call Hotziua Be Horas Bezdin. U Bezdin? Now Rav says, why would Bezdin break up this marriage? And it has to be Be Edim Hu Demafki, because Kol itself would not be enough to break up a marriage. And therefore Rav had to interpret that Mishnah as talking about a case where there were Edim. And therefore, you're going to have to say Yeshla Banim, because if not, then even with kol would be enough to create a din of Tetzeh. Ebay Samin Ali Gemara offers an alternative interpretation of Rav. And that is that according to the Tanavad Mishnah, we would not break into marriage with the Nitan based on a kol, even in a case of Eila Banim. She doesn't have children from the first marriage. Vahani Masnisa Rebbe he. Rebbe is of the opinion that we break up a marriage based on kol. This Sanya we learned in a Brisa. Now, this Brisa is like reading a soap opera. All sorts of situations that, we say with is smoke, there's fire. You familiar with that phrase? So, for example, Rochel. Rochel is a, like Avon calling, you remember that? You know, he goes from house to house, and he sells perfumes and jewelry and so forth. So these guys, they went around during the morning hours, and the husbands weren't around, and there were all sorts of suspicions about what they were doing over there. And Rochel Yotze, he the husband in this case, found the Rochel leaving the house. The Isha and his wife is Chogeres Besinar. She's putting back her girdle, that covers her privates. Like, what's going on over here? She wasn't wearing her girdle and she's putting it back on, and he's walking out of the house like, Amar Rebbe Holu Mechuvar Adar. Mechuvar Adar means literally it's repulsive, it's disgusting. It means there's some immorality going on, Teitze, that we have to break up the marriage. Another example, Rokla Malam and Akila. Right, there was a Kila is a, it's called in English, I forget what it's called, you know, those canopy beds, you know what I'm talking about? And, you know, he sees, I'm not sure if Rok is to be taken literally here, or maybe he sees, you know, something indicating that there was a sexual relationship here. And Amar Rebbe Hol Mechor Adover, since the circumstances indicate that there was Znus, and, you know, she was, I don't know, I'm not sure exactly of all the circumstances. Apparently she was lying back and, I don't know, she, it says here in my translation of the Gemara, it says, Rokaka klape gag hakila. Is Teitze. Again, some circumstantial evidence. Now we turn to the daf for today, this chafe. Minolim hafuchim. There's some strange man's shoes at the foot of her bed. And hafuchim, and they're turned on the other side, which means PM lamata vishulel lamala. It's like it's upside down. Apparently trying to, you know, give us a false impression as if as if he was not there, or it's just a lost pair of shoes or something. And tachas amita, he finds it under her bed. Amar Rebbe Holo Mechuvar Adar Teitze. So we're going to break up the marriage. He says here, Nikar mitocha inyan shezinsa im adam acher. She left enough circumstantial evidence to indicate that she was having this immoral relationship. And that person, hafaches min olav, he turned his shoes upside down, kidesh lo yuchal lahakir es miyam. They wouldn't be able to identify the owner of the shoes. Then we have another case. Oh, no, now the Gemara is going to ask. Min olam afuchim lichse deman ninhu. Why don't we try to identify the owner of these shoes? We'll turn it back from inside out to upside down and everything else. And that's going to prove who she had this relationship with. And he says, Im yisbar lahem, if he'll clarify, for example, that these shoes belong to the Rochel that he just saw running out of the house, then advar mochichim shezinsa imo, it looks very convincing evidence, circumstantial evidence, that she had znus with him. But you know what? If it doesn't belong to the Rochel, then maybe somebody left his shoes there and asked her to watch his shoes. Ella, the Gemara says, we're not talking about a case where the shoes themselves were upside down, but makom min olim hafuchim. The karka, the ground underneath the bed, was, I guess somehow it was upside down. He says here, medubar she motzu asam min olam atzma fuchim, lo medubar, I'm sorry, ela nimtza b'mokom b'karka shelitzad ha-mita. Again, it was sort of facing the bed. And that's a siman shel min olam afuchim. And that indicates that a man came to have snus with her, and he turned the shoes the other way around. They shouldn't recognize him. They shouldn't identify him. In any event, let's get back to the braisa on daf chav dalet amid beis. There are two braisas that seem to be indicative of the fact that we'll break up the marriage to the nitan, to the boel, even in the absence of Edom. So the Gemara is offering those braisas should be attributed to the sheet of Rebbe, who holds that even if you only have a dover mechuar without any witnesses, if there's a strong reason to believe, and so for now a case here, there's a call, is then we're going to break up the marriage. Okay? So therefore, we don't have after kasha on Rav. Hilchas HaKavasei de Rav. However, the Gemara finally accepts the sheet of Rav Halacha. We're not going to break up a marriage with the Boel or with the Baal unless we have two witnesses. Hilchas HaKavasei de Rebbe. Now, here we have a contradiction. We just finished saying that according to Rebbe, all we need is circumstantial evidence like a coal and we'll break up the marriage. So kasha Hilchas HaHilchas. Rav was the one who said that you must have Eidim. Lo kasha. Huh. In one case, it's Bekola de Posik, meaning after this rumor went out, she went ahead and got married. She was divorced by her husband, then she got married to someone else. That's called a Hefsek Kol. And that quiets down the rumor. Huh, Bekola de Lo Posik. Another Psak Halacha is that we're talking about a case where the kol continues. And the Gemara explains now. Kol delo posik vileka edim kirabi. If the kol continues, even in the absence of edim, we're going to pass like Rebbe. And based on kol, we're going to create an iser, we're going to break up the marriage. But kol de posik, if on the other hand the kol stops, then we're not going to aser her based on kol and break up the marriage, but only in ika edim, only if there are witnesses to testify in this nos. Kirav, and then aloch is like Rav. So Gemara asks for kol de lo posik, ad kama. You know, how long does the kol continue until you establish it and categorize it as low posik? Amar Abai, Amarli Aim, right? Abai was raised by not his biological mother, but his adoptive mother. And Dumi Demasa. What is Dumi Demasa? Yoma de Upalga. A day and a half. And that's called Chashude Ha'ir. I'm not sure what Chashudei Ha'ir means, but whatever they're suspected of, if the rumor persists for a day and a half, that's considered Delo Posik. V'lo Amaren El Delo Posik Beini Ubeini. Al Posik Beini Ubeini or Posik. Let's say within that day and a half, there was an hour or so when they denied this call, and the word went out that the kol was just sheker v'chazav. So that's called posik. V'lo amranan el delo posik machmas yira. When do we say that since it's low posik, we're going to rely on this kol, even to break up a marriage? That's only when the rumor was not based on yira. Aval posak, if it interrupts, machmas yira. So then we assume Machmas Yira hu de posik, and that's not called posik. So Yira, I think here in this context means that if you're continuing a rumor and you keep passing it on, then somebody might sue you for slander or somebody might knock your block off. So that's called Yira. So you shut your mouth because you're afraid, you know, it's like a witness protection the system. Lo amran, and when do we say that we rely on the kol? El deleka oivim. Aval ika oivim, oivim hu diafkule kol. If there are enemies of the isha, of the woman, or maybe of the nitan, the suspected boil, then we think that these edim might have deliberately and dishonestly created this rumor. They started this rumor. Tanan ha'so, we learned it in Mishnah in Gittin on Daf Mem Hayamid Beis. Hamotzi es ishto mishum shemra. A man hears a rumor that his wife is having another extramarital, and he divorces his wife. Then lo yachsev, he changes his mind and he wants to remarry his wife after he gave her a get. Then we don't allow him to do so. We'll see why. Mishum neder. Alternatively, let's say she took upon herself a neder, and because that neder is so harsh, he decides to divorce his wife. Now he has a change of heart. He wants to remarry her. Lo yachzer, we won't allow him to remarry her. The Gemara there in Gittin gives two explanations. According to the Lishna Kama, it's because of Chayshina Lekilkula. What does that mean? We're afraid that after he divorced her, she might marry someone else. And then when he finds out that the Shem Ra, the original Shem Ra, which motivated him to divorce his wife, is no longer alive and active, it's Batel. Or for example, if she took a neder and then a chacham would be matir her neder, so the original husband now is going to come and he'll say, well, I only divorced her because of the shemra. I only divorced her because of the neder. Had I only known that the shemra would be batel, or that a chacham would be matir the neder, I never would have divorced her. Which means that she was still his wife, and she has children from another wife. They're all mamzerim. And the other opinion in the Gemara says that the reason why they establish that he's not allowed to remarry her is because they don't want Bnos Yisrael to be Prutzos V'arayos. The women have to understand the repercussions that if they have this kind of relationship, that'll break up their marriage and it's irreversible. Shalach le Rabba Bar Huna le Rabba Bar Nachman Yilamdeinu Rabbeinu. Okay, we're talking about a person who divorced his wife because of a shame ra, because of this rumor. Konas Mao Shiyotzi. We said in the Mishnah Gittin he's not allowed to remarry her, but what if he did? Do we recognize that marriage? Amale Tnena. We learned in our Mishnah, and this is our Mishnah here in Masechta Yevamos, that Hanitan al Eishes Ish, Votzi Ua Mitachas Yodo Af Pisha Konas Yotzi. That if there's a suspected rumor about a certain person that he had a relationship with an Eishes Ish, and now he marries her, Yotzi, we're going to break up that marriage. And therefore, we should apply that same reasoning to the case of Motzi Isha, Mishum Shemra, that since he gave her a get because he relied on the kol, on that rumor, and therefore, even if he marries her, which he wasn't allowed to do, then we're going to be machmer on him. We're going to force him to divorce his wife, just like we did in our Mishnah here. Amalei, so Rabba responds and he says, no, you have no proof, there's no analogy here, me dummy. Hasam, in the case of our Mishnah, of the Nitan, Hotziu Ha, means Bezdin, as we said before, were Motzi Har Mi Baila, against his will. Which means that there were Eidei Tuma Shezinsa Takta, there were two witnesses. And since we have a Vadai, we now know that she had this extramarital relationship, then the Torah says she's not allowed to remain married to her husband, and can't marry the Boel. So that's why im kanas yotzi. But hacha, here in the case of motzi shemra, the language of the Mishnah is hotzi'ah, which means on his own initiative. He wasn't obligated, nobody compelled him to divorce his wife. He did it on his own. There were no witnesses, it was just a call. And therefore it's quite possible that in this set of circumstances, that im kanas lo yotzi. We're not going to force a divorce. For Rabba bar Rav Nachman, he was the one who tried to use our Mishnah as a proof to answer the suffix of Rabba bar Rav Huna. To Masnisanami Hotziah Tnan, in his Girsa in the Mishnah, it said Hotziah, which means that it's not that the Baal is chayev to be Megarish's wife, but on his own initiative, he decided, Mirtzono Midaito, to give a get to his wife. And there were no Eidei Tuma. We're not going to force him to divorce his wife. There's only a kol. And nevertheless, if he went ahead and he married her, Yotzi. And therefore, we should prove from that that a Motzi Shemishum Shemra also, if he went ahead and he married her, remarried her, he has to give her a get. So the Gemara says, Vakati mi domi. The analogy is not accurate. Hacha, in the case in Masechta Gittin, we don't know if a person who is Motzi is Ishto Mishum Shemra, and he's not allowed to marry her, what happens if he went ahead and he married her? Do we break up the marriage or not? It's Bibal. We're talking about the husband of this woman. He was her husband all along. And therefore, if he remarries her, that's not such a terrible thing. But Hassam, in the Mishnah here in Yevamos, is Boel. Not Bila, but Boel. Boel is the Nitan, who's suspected of having Znus with her. It's a Dor Maguna. And therefore, the Chachamim were Machayev that even if he marries her, he has to divorce her. But you cannot derive from that anything about the original Suffolk of Rabbi Barav Huna in a case where the Baal himself went ahead and remarried this woman. Amalei, nevertheless, Shapir Domi Adodi, Rabba defends his equation, his analogy, Hacha, in the case of Nitan. Is Omer Abonalo Yichnos, Vim Konas Yotzi, Hachinami, so too, in the case of Motzi Ishto Mishum Shemra, Amri Rabbona lo yachzir v'im konas yotzi. So it doesn't matter whether or not it was Bezdin that got involved and they told him not to marry her, or he on his own initiative went ahead and he married her. In both cases, we're going to break up the marriage. Gemara says, "Velo he." The Gemara rejects this. Hasam, in the case of our mission of Nitan, and then he went ahead and he married her. Ilume alme lakola. By marrying her, that only strengthens the kol, indicating that he was the one who had that illegitimate relationship with her, and that's why he went ahead and he married her. So therefore, they were very machmir on him, and they said him konas yotzi. Otherwise, this rumor is going to get stronger and stronger. But Hacha, here in the case where on his own initiative he divorced his wife, Mishum Shemra, and now he remarries her, Adrabah. On the contrary, the fact that he remarries his wife, Amrinon, Kom Bei Bekola Delesa. It indicates that he checked out the kol, the Baal checked out the kol, this rumor, he went back to its roots, and he discovered, like, Sherlock Holmes, that it's not reliable. So when he checks out and he investigates and he discovers that the kol is sheker, and then he remarries her, that's a whole different story. We're not going to derive from our Mishnah that here also, when he checked out the rumor and he found out that it's not true, and he married her, that we're going to break up that marriage. Okay, we're up to the Mishnah now, here on Daf Chaf Hei. At the beginning of Masechta Gittin, we have a halacha of a shliach who brings a get from Medinas Hayam, and now he has to testify b'fanei nechta, b'fanei nechta. Now maybe get Medinas Hayam, so from a far off place, he brings it to Eretz Yisrael, v'yomer, and the shliach declares in front of Bezdin, b'fanei nechta, b'fanei nechta, so I know that the get is kosher. And based on his testimony, meaning the testimony of the shliach, we're going to allow her to get remarried, but lo yisa, the shliach himself should not marry his ishto. And this is a concept called lazus sfasayim, which means that we're worried about rumors. You know, people are going to suspect, well, he's bringing the get and he's marrying her? Like, maybe this is not on the up and up. So therefore, we tell the shliach, listen, buddy, you can't marry her. Mace. Now we have a witness that testifies that this woman's husband died, and she's allowed to get married. And once again, we're gonna say lo yisas ishto. We're not gonna allow him to marry her because he himself was the aide that was matir her. It looks very suspicious. Case number two, haraktiv. I murdered her husband. Haragnu. I was part of a mafia group. We knocked him off. It's as far as this aid is concerned. Lo yisa es ishto. The woman about whom he's testifying that her husband died, we're not going to allow him, the witness, to marry her. Now it's interesting, her aktiv means he admits and confesses the guilt of murder. And that's what going to be the Gemara's next discussion. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, her aktiv lo tinase ishto. If a man testifies that I killed so-and-so's husband, she's not allowed to get married. Not to him and not to anyone else. Haragnu, which means that I saw others put him to death, tinose ishto. Then we can rely on that testimony. She can get married. Now I'm not sure. He adds here a word, lacherim. Tinose ishto lacherim. Let me just see how does he know that? Tinose. Yeah, Rashi says it. It's the last of the skinny lines. Rashi says li acher. So Gemara says, "Time of dinas hayam." The reason why we're not going to allow him to marry her. This shliach is not allowed to marry her because he brought the get from Medina Sayyam and he had to testify fani nechtam dal leisam kosam chinon. And we rely on the shliach and his testimony in order to allow this woman, this formerly married woman, to get married. Is therefore he himself is not allowed to marry her because we're relying on his testimony as the shliach v'nechtam to be matir. Avol, the implication of the mission is that if he had brought the get me Eretz Yisrael where there's no requirement of v'nechtam, the lav alei samchina kos samchina. We're not relying on the shliach. We're just looking at the shtar, at the get. Is then yisa es ishto. So what's the Gemara's problem? So Gemara says, "V'alav aleka samchinah." I'm sorry, v'mes. We have a loch of isha daiku minsaba. That's also Gemara here in Yevamos. Much later on, that when one witness testifies that her husband died, Bezdin will rely on the fact that this woman would not risk it and get married to someone else until she actually investigates and is absolutely certain. 100% that her husband died. That's called Isha Daiku Minsaba. So, Lava Leka Samchina. We're not relying on the witness. Diomar Mar, but rather the reason why we rely on the witness is because Isha Daiku Mitzvah. You know, she goes out and she clarifies with absolute certainty that her husband in fact died. Uketoni lo yisas ishto. And yet, even in the case of Mace Baila, we're not going to allow him to marry her. Why not? We're not relying on him. So it should be like the case of maybe Get in Eretz Yisrael. Sigmar answers, Hasam, in the case where he testifies on the death of her husband, Leka Ksava. It's not that we're totally relying on Daiku Mintzava. And he's not holding on to any sort of document that testifies that her husband died. We're relying on him. And therefore we have a chash that he's testifying falsely in order to go ahead and marry this woman. Hacha, but here in the case of maybe Get Be'eretz Yisrael, Ika Ksava, the Get is in his hands. There's no chashash, there's no suspicion that maybe it's a counterfeit. There are two witnesses signed on it. And based on the Get itself, we're going to allow her to get married. So maybe Get Be'eretz Yisrael, where there's no requirement for any nechtav, and he's got a shtar, a Get, with two witnesses on it. And we're not afraid of Ziyuf. Is therefore she can get remarried. Tisnan, we have a Mishnah later on in Daf Kuf Yud Zayin. And the Mishnah makes a fundamental distinction. When do we rely on the testimony of a woman? And the answer is that there are five categories of ladies, where we don't rely on their testimony, of any of these five, that this woman's husband died. And that's a halach of sinah, that there's a certain very strong enmity, jealousy, and tension between these five women, five categories of women, chamoso, etc., etc., and therefore we're afraid that they're testifying falsely. But nevertheless, these same five women are believed to bring a get from Medinas Hayam and testify b'fanei nechta, b'fanei nechta. So the question is, ma ben get lim misa? What's the difference between the case where she brings the get and we rely on her testimony and we allow this woman to get remarried, as opposed to misa, where she testifies that her husband died? And the answer is, shaksav mochiach, that in the case where she brings the get, then the get itself is edus. So we're going to rely on the edus in the shtar. So he brought a get from Eretz Yisrael, and we're not afraid of Ziyuf. Is therefore, if we're not afraid of Ziyuf, then we could rely on the get. But in the case where someone testifies about the death of our husband, we're afraid that he's making up a whole, you know, a fib, you know, the whole thing is one lie, in order to allow himself to marry her. The Mishnah says, Mace, that according to Tanakama, if one witness testifies about the Baal that he died, Harektiv, I killed him. Haregnu, I was part of a mafia, we killed him as a group. Lo Yisas Ishto. So the Gemara asks, who knew the Lo Yisas Ishto? We're relying on his witness, on his testimony for everybody else, but not for he himself. Liacher Tinose. Now imagine a man testifies that I murdered your husband and now she's allowed to get married. That's against Rav Yosef. Homer Rav Yosef, Ploni Ravani Leonsi. Hu viacher mitztarfin lehargo. But Lertzoni, Rasha hu vatora omer altesius yotchen Rasha lios eid chamos. So Rav Yosef says that if a man incriminates himself by saying that I was part of a homosexuality act or I killed somebody in our case, then if he's incriminating himself, then we apply the Pasuk Altashis Yod Chaim Rasha. It means he's Pasulyedus. So how is it that in our Mishnah the Rotseach is believed to be Matir, this woman, Likuli Alma. According to his own confession, he's a murderer and he's a Rasha. And if you'll tell me, maybe in general, the halacha is that if a man incriminates himself, he's not believed, as Rav Yosef postulated. But now we could be more flexible. Why do we have to be more flexible? Because we're talking about a woman and the problem of aguna. And if we don't rely on this witness, then she'll never be able to get married. And that's a kula in the case of Edus Isha. So even though by his own admission he's a Rasha, and according to Rav Yosef he's incriminating himself, and therefore his Edus is disqualified, but that's not applicable in the case of Edus Isha. So the Gemara rejects this.